A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time! And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series!
I remember running home from school, turning on the TV to the Cubs game, sitting with my dad to watch his heroes.
Welcome to the World Series Dreaming Chicago Cubs Dreamcast, now hanging out with the guys at Obstructive View. We are not affiliated with the actual Chicago Cubs, but we're just a bunch of fans who love the local nine and enjoy talking baseball, and of course, the 2016 World Series champion Cubs. Those again with me are Adam, Jeff, and Nate, and we are coming to you just after the trade deadline in a Cubs game in progress against the Dodgers, who got like the big trade chip, but I think the Cubs did pretty good. But before we start, how's everybody doing tonight?
Shaking my fist at the air at Tommy Edman, even though the Cubs are winning.
I'd like to see Bregman not swing at sliders inside, but what are you going to do?
I'm here. I'm tepidly sated, I guess the best way to describe how I feel about today's events. But yeah, here we are to talk about it.
Yeah, it's better than not being sated, I would say. I guess we have a few innings to go before the Cubs are done with the Dodgers tonight. But yeah, it's about, I think, 24 to 48 hours before all the new guys show up to the Cubs, and there will be some roster things. But yeah, we can talk about the big Tarek Skubal trade, which probably should not have happened, but it did. And it went to the team that probably shouldn't have gotten them, but they did. And at least it wasn't the Brewers. The Cubs did trade for a lot of pitching, and that we can talk about that for sure. Unfortunately, our friends over at Bleacher Nation had a little issue, and I think we can definitely talk about that. Hopefully they come out of this relatively unscathed. And before the rest of the season, we can talk about, you know, the increasing likelihood of Pete Crow Armstrong winning the National League MVP. So how's that for a plan, guys?
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. Let's do it.
That'll do.
As the spring gave way to summer, past the ivy-colored dreams, toward the days that kept us yearning for tomorrows.
So, yeah, the Skubal trade. I looked at it, and I was basically like, that's it? That's all they sent? What's going on? What's wrong with Detroit? Is this a conspiracy? What the hell's going on? So that's basically where I'm at with that.
I am down with the conspiracy theory.
Yeah, this is in advance of the CBA negotiations where everybody thinks there's going to be a lockout and, you know, salary cap and the Dodgers are unfair. But how could nobody else in the entire league beat that? Someone should have beaten that. So something was amiss here.
Especially since it was the trade that kind of set the market on the for real transactions. You know, it was the Skubal was the biggest get on the market, and it was a pretty lame return. So rather than waiting for other deals to go and see how much they could get, the Tigers just kind of went, here's who we want. Go ahead and take them.
Yeah, how early it was in retrospect kind of surprises me. Like, I think the Cubs were probably kind of taken by surprise, but maybe I'm just projecting. Like, I get that, like, the Brewers and Rays wouldn't do it, even though they should, because they've got such a hard-on for maximizing their dollars per win. But, you know, why do it on Sunday? You know, why not wait a day? It seems weird.
Yeah, and the reports were that the Brewers had agreed to pay for Skubal's contract for the rest of the season. So yeah, it seemed like they were in on it, but I don't think we'll ever know for sure.
Probably not. I feel like at some point, Jed said something to the effect of, or maybe whoever he leaked it to, it they were never really in it, you know? So that kind of sucks, but at least they got other folks, you know. We'll talk about that later, but it's just kind of annoying that the Dodgers of all teams, you know, they have all these pitchers coming back from injury. They have the current pitchers already. I guess I kind of understand why they would want to do this because of the current pitcher on the mound, who I believe was an all-star but hasn't been doing very well since. Basically, giving up a home run derby to the Cubs. So it kind of makes sense, but it's just so frustrating. And I don't think this has anything to do with salary cap or competitive imbalance or anything. It's just something that the Dodgers did and the Tigers agreed, and there's nothing we can do about it.
I don't know. The conspiracy theory I like is that here the Tigers are frustrated that they're not going to be able to hang on to their pitcher without paying him what he should be paid on the open market. Ding it! And heading into this face off with the players, they want a salary cap. And the event that will bolster their argument that this game needs a salary cap, that immediately all the reaction fueled these arguments that this sport needs a salary cap more than anything else, would be if the Dodgers win yet another World Series. And what would help the Dodgers win yet another World Series more than yet another ace on their staff of aces? And so, yeah, I can see the Tigers being like, that just give it to the Dodgers. The last thing they want is for the Brewers to win the World Series. The last thing they want is for the Rays to win the World Series. So, who better to make their case that they never should have had to let go of Skubal to begin with than make it easy for the Dodgers to win the World Series? I like it. I don't care if it sounds crazy. That's my brand, and I'm buying it.
Yeah, I kind of like it. Anybody else have weird conspiracy theories before we move on? Because yeah, the Cubs get their first chance to try to beat up on Skubal tomorrow night before the World Series. No, they can't do that. NLCS, let's do that.
If the
I
Dodgers
don't
make the playoffs, that's quite the assumption.
know. Yeah,
that's the only point I really had was just that it was weird that it happened so early. But it is kind of funny seeing all of the write-ups of it because there's just such a wide stretch of opinions, I guess, about the actual prospects. But I think all of them are going to fail. But I think it's funny that. Like this one pitcher who is arguably like the highest ranked guy is like older than Juan Soto. It is still a prospect.
Yeah, what is he, 27?
Give or take. Yeah. It's interesting that you said early, Jeff. It happened on Saturday, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's right. I went hiking this weekend, so my sense
Yeah,
of time is
yeah.
all very skewed.
I remember like being cranky on Sunday morning, so it must have been Saturday, and then Sunday we barely got anything, and then Monday we got just everything because like I think we talked about this last time, and we also threw a blog on the Obstructive View about like just how many teams were so close to contending that it was very difficult to see who would buy and sell. And then you see certain teams both buying and selling. There are certain teams that shouldn't be selling, actually selling, and it's just very, very strange dynamic. But I guess there is an air of we are trying to prepare for 2027 when we have no idea if there will be baseball. And at the same time, there's the overall kind of philosophy that you're not getting controllable pitching because everybody needs pitching and they want cost control and club control. So you're not getting these guys, you're getting rentals. So now it's just a matter of teasing out who is the rentals. So I think that's why a lot of these trades went down to the wire, including most of the trades that the Cubs made today at the trade deadline.
On that point about the next year kind of being up in the air, Jed was in the booth during tonight's game. And they asked him about that. And I don't know. I honestly, I can't remember if it was in game or before the game when they were when the press was bombarding him with questions. But in one of those instances, they asked about, does the next year's season being up in the air, did that have anything to do with changing the dynamic of the trades? And his answer was that no one said that out loud, but he could definitely see it potentially being something that affected teams in the way that they approached guys who did have that one extra year left on their contract. But that's to be expected, but I do feel like there were a lot of teams who went from, oh yeah, we've got a chance, to screw it. It's over for a while. Let's just get whatever we can for next year slash 2 years down the road. And it was a lot of fun to watch.
I think that's fair. I really hope that it doesn't happen. Any lockout that we have, hopefully, will be short, but you just never know with these guys at this point. I think we can bump that down to a different podcast, like when the season is over, and hopefully the Cubs have won the World Series. But now I just precursed us, so you guys are gonna all blame me for that. But we can talk about the Cubs trades now. We have Clay Holmes and Tyrone Taylor from the New York Mets for Jefferson Rojas, which is one of the top 100 prospects that are still in the Cubs system. The Cubs system is not as good as it used to be after graduating basically most of those guys up to the majors or trading them away, but still pretty interesting guys. And for the most part, I kind of thought that even after getting rid of a Jefferson Rojas, there were more trades to be made, but I think the pricing just never lined up. They acquired Ryan Zifferjohn from the Angels for Moises Ballesteros and Mason McGwire. Got Braxton Garrett from the Marlins. He's got optioned to Iowa, and I think he's coming back from an injury, so he's rehabbing for a bit. But I feel like that's a guy that's going to be a reliever for a bit. To end the season, and then they're going to turn him back into starting for like he did for the Marlins. And he has started for the Marlins before and done well, and then just something broke. Not physically, but just his pitching was a little off. And then we talked about Kevin Gausman earlier. He came over from the Blue Jays for Brett Bateman and Ty Seventseen, who are good prospects. They're in the Cubs top 30, but they are definitely not top 100. So at that point, I was like, wow, that was not a lot at all. So there's a lot more that they can do. And MLB Trade Rumors has a really good set of trades that they compiled. Earlier before this last Mad Weekend, they designated James Taillon for assignment finally. We can talk about that. They also brought back Aaron Civale. And they also traded for David Peterson, who's been just wonderful since he came over from the Mets, except for that one time he threw batting practice to the Cardinals. So yeah, this is an obvious need that Jed identified, and we all as fans were pretty much like, we need arms, we need more starters, we need better bullpen guys because this bullpen is being held together by duct tape and spackle, and it's a miracle that the Cubs are as good as they are. And to their credit, Jed Hoyer and the front office got the arms that essentially we need to get through these last 50-ish games.
Honestly, one of the biggest surprises to me is that Pedro Ramirez and Matt Shaw are still on the team. I thought one of the two of them would be traded. I mean, I know which one I
Absolutely.
was rooting, know which one I was rooting for,
Yep. Yes. Same here, Jeff. Same here.
but maybe maybe both of them are going to be spending a lot of time in the outfield this spring.
Well, but we added on another outfielder too. So that's, I mean, I, you know,
Yeah.
we're dovetailing into Ian Happ conversation at some point,
You
but
guys
yeah.
noticed that, right? Like Ian Happ did not start tonight. Kevin Alcantara hit his first career home run because they finally decided, hey, it's a trade deadline. Ian has been crappy against left-handed pitching all season. Let's try something else. And To their credit, it worked out. And I feel like the acquisition of Tyrone Taylor, as Nate is alluding to, is partially to address that. You are now getting a platoon partner for Ian Happ. And while you might lose that Gold Glove defense, you do need run scoring. And, the guys who can play left field are more than capable as well. They're just not Ian Happ caliber, I guess.
I was a little confused though why the Cubs needed a Green Bay Packers backup quarterback.
Was a nice catch. Yeah.
Is that
I see what
Tyrod
you did
Taylor,
there.
right? That's who they got?
Tyrone,
Oh, Tyrone, Tyrod's brother. Never mind.
one. No,
Just keep him away from any lung needles and he should be okay.
yeah, somebody said that this is probably the whitest Tyrone they've ever seen. So,
Hopefully he doesn't go on the Pat McAfee show with Brett Favre and start talking about the economy. We'll see.
I don't watch that show. Is it any good? Because he's getting a
I
buttload of
have
money, like now that they're
no, I've
firing everybody from
never
ESPN.
no, I've never watched it once, but I noticed on my feed today that Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show today, as he often is. The last couple of years, he's got to deal with them and. He was the first thing he dove into was politics, and I couldn't drop my phone on the concrete fast enough. So, yeah.
Claiming to be on the right side of history. I can't
Yeah,
wait
yep.
till he's on the wrong end of an ACL injury.
I can't wait to see. He's total aside. I am really excited to watch every Steelers game this year. Because he's damaged goods. He has not been good for several years, and I can't wait to see him fail. But we're talking about baseball, and I apologize. I digress.
Fair.
Training camp starting. It's in the air. It's in the air.
It smells good, doesn't it? It smells really good. I can't wait. Sorry.
It's in the game.
The Brewers are doing some bullshit again, but we'll see what happens in that game. But the one guy that I think everybody really wanted but couldn't be pried from the Angels was Reed Detmers. You guys saw the unfortunate stuff that happened with Bleacher Nation.
Yeah.
Did two sources. Got to get two sources.
That's very unfortunate because I really like those guys. They do a great job. Like they're like my go-to for Cubs aggregation news because I no longer am on Twitter and I just don't have as much time as I used to. So I kind of rely on Brett and the entire crew to do their thing. And of course, you guys, Blue Sky and in the comments. So really appreciate everybody pitching in. But this one was a major swing and a miss. And I think after that, the Bleacher Nation site went down for a while, so they couldn't correct it for a little bit, except on social media. And that was probably really frustrating because this is like the biggest day of the year for that site and us as baseball fans, right? But that goes along with what Jed was saying about cut. And other GMs were saying about pitchers with club control and how a lot of teams, a lot of these trades that you can see being compiled on MLB trade rumors, they are of the rental kind. So any arm with more than a year or two attached to them, they're staying with their parent clubs. And yeah, that's just the way it's been. And last year we were kind of upset about the lack of trading, but it's very similar last year as this year because GMs really value that cost control and club control, and there's just no way you're prying them away from their parent club without a huge, huge spend. And you can argue that getting Clay Holmes, who Jeff has joked is injured. He's out of some rehab starts, but he is unfortunately still coming back from injury for Jefferson Rojas was an overpay, but this is one of those things that you have to do when you have a surplus. You spend and you get those guys. And I think they're just seeing how good this team is right now. And this is a huge boost, I think, whenever these guys can get to town.
And it's good to have a guy who, at least it was a non-pitching injury. It was a leg fracture from a comebacker, and he had just, I think yesterday, done his last rehab start. So at least it's not a, oh, is he gonna re-aggravate this thing again? I mean, obviously, if he takes another line drive to the shin, that will re-aggravate that injury, but not the, I mean, I'm knocking on all the wood I can find because we know what kind of year this has been for Cubs pitchers. But I have to say, I knew, like, the only name that was familiar to me, honestly, was the guy who I thought was Tyrod Taylor. So all of these trades are like, ah, okay, I'll take your word for it. This seems good, but I'm just glad they're making some because I also haven't really learned the names of the guys who are currently in the bullpen. So I just hope things are improved. I'm glad to see some activity happen, is the bottom line for me.
Nate, you said you were tepid about this. Give us reasons because I can totally understand where you're coming from. I might disagree though, because I really enjoyed this deadline. I liked the flurry of news, but we are not here to agree with each other. We're here to have a lively discussion, so you're on the clock, sir.
No, I think the tepidly sated, I thought probably way too long about this. I was trying to figure out how I felt about the whole thing. Just the big picture, the Skubal deal really was the log jam, the log that pulled the log jam, which seemed kind of weird. It still kind of sticks in my craw a little bit. Just very strange. Yeah, I mean, and it makes sense, what they both said about that setting the market going forward for everything else, because that was going to be the big deal. But the flurry after that came, in terms of not immediate, but just the last, the 48 hours before the deadline, I didn't really anticipate it to be all at once like that. I enjoyed it too, surprisingly. I was cautiously optimistic, but I also, part of me is like, okay, well, whoever we bring on, because it's not going to be big target names. We've proven that that's not the modus operandi for the situation in the last couple of years. Whoever we bring on, that one or two of them is going to get hurt, or one or two of them is not going to work out. I thought, okay, whatever. So, well, let's go with the Jed method, which the Jed method, as we've talked about, in my opinion, is quantity over quality. Like, all right, well, he did that today. And he, I think he did it pretty well, considering what was available, considering the timetable that they also, that was partly their, his fault for just, I mean, putting himself in that position. But, more importantly, I thought really the key concern for me was, as we've talked, or as you mentioned just a few minutes ago, our minor league system is not what it used to be, even last year. And for what we gave up, for what we got, that's why I would slate this higher than I normally would. Mo B was fine. He's a fun piece. I know he's a fan favorite, but he's not going to be a serviceable catcher in the next few years in terms of a day-to-day guy, just kind of a spot guy. So he's a DH. He might play first base once in a while, but if we're going to be honest, he's going to be a DH, and it's just not, he's not showing a huge, oh, I don't know. I don't have a huge appetite for what he's shown us so far this year and last year, especially this year, because he had a lot of playing time early in the season. He's fine. But it's a piece I'm willing to give up for some of the pieces they got today. I would just say overall, my feeling in terms of that phrase that I used, for what we gave up, for where this team is in terms of, we don't know what's going on next year, with baseball as a whole, and also the minor league system is a little bit more delicate than it has been the last several years of before a trade deadline. I felt good enough to, I mean, I hate to give it a grade, but B minus. I'm not upset. I'm not unhappy. I think it's more of the same, in terms of a strategy from Theo. And considering that I know that that's just what he's going to do in the offseason or before the deadline or in the, you know, just whatever. I'm fine with it. I'm pretty happy with it. I don't know that it's going to get us the results that we need. And I don't think any of us do, because really half the problems the Cubs have this year are because of injuries. And we can't predict that. No one can predict that. So I'm okay with it. I'm cautiously optimistic, but in terms of what they said, they were two different sources last week said, Cubs sources said that they were going to get three pitchers, either two relievers and a starter or two starters and a reliever. I think they did that and then some, and not overwhelmingly, but in terms of the risk and in terms of the reward and what they paid, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
I like what this does for the guys who've been kind of doing stand-in duty, next man up duty in the starting rotation, who could, I assume that they will be taking over in the bullpen. What that does to what Council can figure out as to a standard bullpen rotation, whether Assad and Ray become long relief guys, or if they up their velocity and, you know, are just, hey, let's go for a clean inning with these guys, or just, you know, I guess Assad would probably prefer just to be put in when there are the bases are loaded or whatever. But I like the flexibility and creativity that this enables for Craig Council, because I do think he's done a good job of managing a patchwork bullpen rotation situation. But this gives him the opportunity to do that with a lot more to work with. So I like that opportunity for what he can do. I still have only the, you know, vaguest of guesses what actually is going to happen with the closer situation. I hope Valencia comes back and that he can be effective, but I think there's a lot more to play around with now where when
I know what I want them to do.
What's that? I'm very curious as to what anybody wants to happen with the bullpen.
Closer. Ben Brown, 2026 Cubs closer. You can go back to starting next year. I think it'll be a fun time to watch.
Yeah.
You guys made a lot of good points. Like, I just very quickly want to tell you who all is still injured. So, like Jeff or Adam, you guys said,
do we have enough time before 10 o'clock to do that?
But, Clay Holmes is on either his last or his second to last rehab start. Ben Brown is throwing. I think David asked us on the board, like, whether he'd be starting or not. The chances are no, because there's just too little time for him to ramp back up. Unsure what they're going to do with Edward Cabrera, but he's about to go on a rehab start. Braxton Garrett is now in the minors and he's not technically injured, so hopefully, like, they fix whatever he's doing and he comes back for the bullpen. Hunter Harvey is actually throwing. Hollowell just went on the injured list, but he might be back. And let's see who else. I'm guessing that Phil Maton is probably not coming back for a very long time, but Shelby Miller is starting to throw. Hobie Milliner is starting to throw. Daniel Palencia is going to start throwing again pretty much the same day as Edward Cabrera. Ethan Roberts maybe, and Steele. Justin Steele is starting to throw after his like setback. So those are all potential guys who could come into the bullpen, as Adam suggested. That really gives you a lot of options. Like, do you go six man? Do you go piggyback? Do you have openers? Who stays in the rotation? Who gets to be a leverage arm in the bullpen? And again, in the playoffs, you need maybe three or four starters, depending on which series you're in. And then the rest are bullpen guys. And you can really afford to stretch out and match up and all that, because there is no tomorrow. But for now, we still have to get past these like last 50 games, right?
Yeah, and Jeff, you had said Ben Brown was your vote for closer. Did I catch that right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I really like the possibility of him being like a long Goose Gossage, Bruce Sutter type closer.
Yeah, or like Uber Fireman, like old school Andrew Miller,
Yeah.
not a 2016 version.
Or
Only if
coming
he only if he gets the Goose Gossage stash, because that then I'm totally down. I
No,
love
I
Goose
do not want to
Gossage
see
growing up.
a mustache on Ben Brown, man. He would
Yes.
look he would look like a pedophile.
He might blow away if he had that much facial hair. In the Wrigley wind, he might soar. But I would like to see him, possibly come in a situation where game tied in the ninth. He gets out of a jam in the ninth. If the Cubs don't score, he carries on over into the 10th, into extra innings. That type of role, I'd really like to see him play. So that would be a lot of fun. So I'm very excited about how this is all going to play out in the months ahead. And you're right, Ken. There's with the number of guys potentially coming back and the guys they've added, I think there are going to be some creative injuries sending guys back and forth as they figure out what the actual rotation is going to be for bullpen usage.
So the real win from this trade deadline is, I'll probably end up being wrong, but I don't think we'll see Jordan Wicks. They're a pitch, meaningful pitch for the Cubs for the rest of the season.
I was kind of surprised he wasn't a throw-in for some team desperate for pitching, but at the same time, he's under club control. He's here for another few years under club control, and they don't necessarily have to trade him. And maybe he goes during the off season, depending on when walkouts happen slash end, right? Nate made a good point. Like, one or two of these guys are probably going to suffer something. It's just the nature of pitching, and as we know, as Cubs fans in 2026, it can happen at any time for the stupidest of reasons, right? So, having this much depth built up again is really strong by the Jed Hoyer front office, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I've definitely. I mean, the guy I expect most is like Palencia. I've pretty much written off for the rest of the year. Like those elbow issues seem like the kind of things that don't really like go away quickly. So, like to me, I'm just kind of like, if we get anything, that's great. But in my head, I'm pretty much in see you in 2027, I hope mode.
It sounded like you were spelling out initials, see you in 2027, like
Hey,
Yeah, that was
Chicago
not
Cubs,
intentional. No,
2027.
no shade to Valencia there.
No, it's their new motto next year. See you in 2027. Yeah, spell it out for the hashtag. Love it. Catch.
Just put it right next to there. You have to see it.
Yeah, so the Brewers just lost. Did you guys see if Kevin Alcantara got his ball back, or is the fan just holding it on for a post-game meet?
I missed it.
Yeah, he did hit his first career home run. I think that was the go-ahead home run, and the Cubs haven't trailed since.
Oh, nice. I didn't realize it was his first.
There are some guys that I think are about to either get optioned or DFA'd. There are a lot of fringe guys that
Oh,
we are
yeah.
probably very displeased with. One guy that we are definitely not displeased with is one Pete Crow Armstrong. So, yeah, Pete's been doing very, very well. And since Shohei Ohtani apparently can't pitch much anymore, there is a chance that Pete Crow Armstrong could be your 2026 National League MVP.
That would be fun. If he is to win it, that would mean that he pretty much stays on fire for the rest of the season, more or less. And I'm all for that. It's as much as people say, well, you can't really measure what it's like to have a guy who pitches like Shohei and can prevent the other team from scoring to that degree every fifth day. Man, Pete brings an argument with his ability to react faster than everybody else on the field. I mean, we had said from the beginning that any offense, average or above was gravy for Pete, and he's been well above average, just a ridiculously great offensive player. And I had talked about it in the in the comments on our site that I was going in because during the All-Star game, Pete did that in-game chat where he's mic'd up, and the guy Vargas for the White Sox hit a homer, and Pete just said, "Oh God," as soon as he hit it. And I mean, as soon as he hit it, because I went back on the video and tracked it. There was 0.23 seconds from the time the crack of the bat was registered by the field mics and when Pete started to say, "Oh God," which is less time than what it takes for the sound of the ball hitting the bat to reach his ears. Like, he reacted so quickly on that. And to me, it gives some insight into just how tuned in he is to the ball being hit, that he's not just reacting to the sound of the contact that's made. He's reacting to what he sees, and I think he sees it better than anybody else because he's very fast, but he's not the fastest center fielder in baseball, but he gets a better break than anybody else. And so it was fun to see that happen. And it's fun to see that happen on a regular basis where he's making catches fairly easily that I think some guys wouldn't be able to dive for. And he does make it more difficult for the other team to score 9 innings a game, 7 days a week. Like, it's incredible, and it is statistically or no, amazing and fun to watch that kid play. Holy crap!
I gotta say that what you said was it hit home in terms of he's not the fastest in baseball, yes, but he's the quickest to react in terms of when he hears that crack. I think the second thing that we have to talk about or at least appreciate is his instinct, because when you hear it and you see the ball, that's one thing to in order to get there quickly, but he's got an uncanny instinct for his age in terms of his first step and knowing what what the wind's doing out in center field, what the if it's the lights are on, if we're playing in the daytime, all the different factors. As much as we talk about how the meteorological changes, just the wind, how the dynamics of the wind work at Wrigley Field and how that's changed the last 3 years, 4 years. His time at Wrigley, he's had a pretty stable set of dynamics to deal with. But for his age and in terms of reacting with the proper first step, you don't see him make a lot of drastic changes in his approach to a ball in terms of getting it out that a lot of kids his age would do. A lot of times you're gonna overestimate something and rush over and then step back, whatever. But in terms of patrolling center field, I think he has, yes, absolutely great speed, but his instincts in terms of anticipating how that might adjust before he gets that ball in the glove, I think that's something that's underrated and not talked about a lot.
And one of the games against the Cardinals when they had come back and he had that break on a ball, I think it was the first out of the inning in the ninth, either the ninth or it could have been the 10th, where on the replay they had a camera from behind home plate, low angle, like around like knee high from behind the batter, where you get to see him react. Like, he was in the shot when the ball was hit, and you see him break in. It's just crazy how, on a ball hit nearly right at him, low angle, he's going to the right point from the very beginning. It's just unbelievable eye for where the ball's going.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And we're just talking about the defense. Like, defense is otherworldly. I think in the Statcast era, he's made more five-star catches than just about everybody. And, like, it's not even close. And so that's like Craig Counsell has been very effusive about how just otherworldly this defense is. Like, you can watch baseball for such a long time and never see defense this good. And that goes for the infielders as well. Like, I think the new guys, particularly Peterson, who's been here for a little bit, and Clay Holmes and Gausman, they're going, or Gausman, sorry, they're going to be very, very happy about the fact that when they generate ground balls, they turn into outs, right? So we do really enjoy that. But I think we also. It was mostly on our message board that we discussed this, but Pete has turned into essentially Barry Bonds light because he's been walking so much more. And a Pete Crew Armstrong that walks and doesn't swing wildly at every single pitch in his vicinity is a dangerous Pete Crew Armstrong. And we've seen that. And the fact that he can do this now has leveled up his game like. It's basically like when you grind and grind and grind in MMORPG, and then suddenly you can finally defeat the big boss because you grinded enough. I think he's grinded enough, and now he's got his his new hit points, and now he's just super leveled up, and it's incredible to watch.
I feel like he's grown a lot. I mean, he's obviously not perfect. I want Spunk. I love that fight. I love that attitude. I don't see him slamming his, and obviously he's been had quite a bit of success this year compared to last year. Not that he had a bad year last year, but I have noticed him holding in his shit, I guess, for lack of a better term, when he does have a bad strikeout or when he does, miss a call or a play or whatever. Do you guys feel like he's grown from this point last year in terms of his maturity and keeping things in check when he needs to?
I mean,
Maybe.
if you're striking out less often, I guess there's less time to shout F-bombs in the air. So
Good point.
I don't really know.
Yep, good point.
Yeah, and Wrigley, like he's less likely to have like some random fan in the center field on behind a fence yelling at him. So. But
Yeah.
you're right. Like every time he does a post-game interview, he recognizes like the good fortune he has of playing a kid's game for a living, and the fact that he's just so humble when he speaks, like during the in-game interviews or the pre-game or on podcasts or radio hits, like he's just like so thoughtful about the game. And you're right, he has been slamming his helmet less ever since like he got a kind of discussion with the father of a kid who saw him, right? I don't want to say he's less emotive, but he's been able to contain it in such a way where he can still be Pete
Choosing the right times to show it.
without being an asshole about it. That's basically what I think is going on. And I think that's a benefit to him. Cubs win, by the way.
Yeah.
Quiet.
I have a quick question, though, on the Cubs win. Who the heck is Jake Woodford?
I was going to ask the same thing.
He's not gonna be here anymore after tonight.
You beat me to
What is
the
it
joke.
you say you do here?
I mean, he closed things out, so good job. But
Woodford came in reserve, I
I
guess.
was nice, nice, without a Buffalo trace of rust. I do not. I mean, it's fine, but I looked at game day and I saw that Tucker was hitting, and I was like, "Oh wait, no, he's not a Cub, he's a Dodger." And then I saw Woodford was pitching, and I was like, "Are the Dodgers doing both right now? Because I don't know who this guy is." But hey, it's all good. Cubs win. Happy to see it.
Yeah, and Boyd went pretty deep into the game. The bullpen barely had to go. Like most of the guys who are leverage guys got to rest, and that was really good. because of this like 17 games and in a row. Yeah, it's been awesome. Like the Brewers have lost, the Cubs have won. Cubs are now 5.5 back of the Brewers at 64-49. And what is that? What was that math? That's 49 games to go, right? So, yep. That this was this would have been 50 games left before tonight, but now it's 49 to go, and let's see what happens next. So we did talk about Taillon getting DFA, but he was traded to the Blue Jays for cash considerations. Any bets on whether he pitches against the Cubs on Thursday when the Blue Jays come to town for that makeup game?
They would have to be crazy. If they're gunning for a draft pick, having him pitch against the Cubs in Wrigley in what has to be the perfect batter's eye for facing the guy. No, I don't think they would do that to him.
No, that's totally fair, and I actually don't know if he's been added to the major league squad. I imagine he has to be, but I honestly don't know. Like we'll see in
They've
a
got
few
some holes,
days.
though.
Yes, but I think Gausman is in line to pitch one of these games at home soon, and I think Taylor McGregor showed a tweet that said the Gausmans were in town, so they came over on Sunday, or the trade happened on Sunday, and by tonight they were in town. So that's pretty cool. I think he saw the atmosphere, and we're seeing just a lot of very happy Cubs fans right now, even though the team is 5.5 back of Milwaukee. And I guess final question before I gotta bail on y'all. Any chance the Cubs catch Milwaukee?
This week?
But
Well, no.
technically, yes. Realistically, no.
There are seven head-to-heads coming up, right? So
That's not
yeah,
when they'll
so,
do it. I'll just go on record. They're not going to
yeah.
do like they would if they sweep the rest of the games in the Brewers. They would, but that's not how it will go. It'll go them, choking against the Pirates. When the Cubs are playing somebody else, because that's when you can make games. Even if you stumble and lose a game in the series, you can still make up ground on someone who's in the middle of a slide. And I do think the Brewers have a couple more rough slides left
I
in them.
don't know. It seems like to me every time the Cubs go on like a, 14-4 run, they only pick up like one game on the Brewers.
Yeah,
Well,
the Brewers are pretty much devil magic.
the difference
Yeah,
this
they.
year really is that this year I want it to happen really bad. So, counterpoint.
You need to buy a billboard, Adam. Let's get it done. Let's go. Let them know. I want it to happen too, but I'll chip in on that.
At least the Brewers didn't get Skubal. That's a good thing, even though they have to face Skubal tomorrow night against the Dodgers. But yeah, at least it wasn't the Brewers.
I can't wait to light him up.
It can happen. I think I don't think he's invincible. Like he's a very good pitcher, obviously, but no pitcher is invincible. Like
He's an emotional wreck right now.
I
I don't know. I still can't
famously,
believe the Brewers didn't go hard for Skubal. Like, if
well,
anyone has ever had an experience of picking up a rental pitcher and still be talking about it nearly 20 years later, it's the Brewers.
yeah, it
Think
would be.
after Sabathia, you think after Sabathia they'd be chasing that again and again?
Well, I'm
Yeah.
sure they're all crying in their skinless Tiefenthalers and maybe picked up an extra pack of cheese curds from Culver's on the way home, but that's fine. Screw them. And I also, no, I just to answer the question, I don't think we're catching the Brewers before the end of the year. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. So
Yeah, there is a mathematical chance. It's just going to be extremely difficult, and I think we all recognize that. But boy, would it be fun. It would be so much fun. But right now, I believe the Cubs are four up on the wild card, and that is a very good position to be in. They are still within spitting distance-ish of the Brewers, so that at least makes them sweat a little bit. They did lose in Anaheim, right? Mizorowski was complaining about the mound or something. And you're just like, well, you guys are definitely not invincible. You're making excuses, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, that definitely they will lose more games. It's just a matter of whether the Cubs can win more games than the
Yeah,
Brewers
Mizorowski
lose at this
said
point.
that he said it was the worst mound he's ever thrown from, ever, like college or pro.
Wah,
And with that, thank you guys for hanging out after a very exciting trade deadline. You can find us, of course, at obstructiveview.net. Theme song is by Rich Deanna, and Randall Sanders pulled the various Hall of Fame Pat Hughes calls from the radio, including the final call from the 2016 World Series for me. Rate us on Apple Podcasts, share us with your friends, and go Cubs, I guess.
Go Cubs.
World Series, baby.
Cubs go.
It was more than just a game.